in the intricate world of project management where, okay, watch this. Now, technical skills often normally get the spotlight, no point intended. But today we're going to change that. We're going to talk about something that is not really taboo. You can use different words, soft skills, you know, a skill set, basically a skills. But we're going to compose this of why is emotional intelligence important in project management? Again, why is emotional intelligence important in project management? Hey, if this is your first time tuning in, I'm your boy ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, look, that just simply means it. We're going to jump into the 7-point framework. After my 7-point framework, I'm out. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Let's work. First point, enhanced team dynamics. What does that mean, ED? Well, when you have a when you have a team, first of all, you have to always finding new ways to understand your team, from fostering trust to developing empathy to having effective communications with teams. You know, I've learned over time of doing this thing that we love that we call project management is that everyone is not the same. You can't put, and you guys know where I'm going, everyone in a box and assume that you can talk or communicate in a way effectively to everyone, because everyone receives messages differently. So what I've known is that I experiment with my communication. So if normally if I may pick up the phone and call you and I'm not getting the type of response that I'm looking for, then maybe you're somebody that likes to respond to emails. If that doesn't work, maybe you're someone that likes to respond to chats. So you always have to be finding different ways, family, to enhance your team dynamics. Let's move on to point number two, conflict resolution. In the book, where is it at, family? I got it right here for you. In the book that's coming, I'm hoping to have this dropping on the 1st of September, but if it comes out earlier, I'll let you know. But we are scheduled for the 1st of September. It is called The Magnetic Project Manager. Again, The Magnetic Project Manager. There's so many gems in here that I do truly believe that you're going to learn. One of them, though, is around conflict resolution. I think it's a taboo in project management that we don't talk about conflict a lot, or really the training and to have the mental aptitude and the emotional aptitude to deal with conflict, because you'll hear those cliches that, oh, this is not personal, this is business. Well, it is personal because I'm emotionally attached to this thing that we call project management that you love and I love. But let me explain. Project managers with a high emotional intelligence will be able to navigate conflicts better. I didn't say that they'll be able to be completely resolved, but I did say they'll be able to navigate better. And the reason why is because they'll have that growth mindset. That growth mindset indicates is that, okay, I tried this particular resolution, it didn't work. Let me try this particular resolution before I just totally just escalate to their manager or to leadership to get this person off my team. You try as a project manager to do any and everything to work with your team to resolve conflicts. And again, I always state this, not all conflicts are bad. Not all conflicts are bad. And sometimes you can say something that you didn't think was detrimental or could invoke any type of emotional response, and you may get an emotional response, and then you're like, well, why did this happen? Quick tip, and this wasn't even in my talk today, but I'm gonna give it to you because I like to over deliver. Is when someone, if let's say you send an email, or better yet, I'll give you two. Now I'm feeling really great. First one, let's say you get an email that you felt that it was very, let's say, disrespectful, or it evoked the emotion that wanted you to send something back in a irate way. You know, what I've learned along the way is before you send that email, walk away from your cube, walk away from your office, walk away from wherever that email is located at. Just go. Yeah, just go. Just take a quick 5-minute decompress time. I mean, yeah, you may go from green to yellow or green to, hey, where are you at? Are you online? But listen, family, try this technique. I mean, well, not try. Test it out. I hate saying try. Test it out and see what happens. Because what happened is that once you go take that walk and you just kind of clear your mind and not get, just walk away from the emotions aspect and now come back with a fresh mind and say, you know what, all right, let me respond. Here's bonus tip number two on that particular piece there. I would also recommend, maybe it might be better just to set up a meeting to talk through the email that was sent before you jump to conclusions. Now, if you get on a call and it's the same energy that you felt in the email, then now we have a problem. But don't jump ahead and assume that you already, that you have a conflict when you're not, when you need to get that person's verbal aspect. Because, you know, a lot of times in written, it can be perceived one way. A person who's writing it, they maybe have really good intentions, and it comes out bad on the other side, meaning that the person that's receiving the information may think negative of it. Okay, I'll drain that too long. Let's move on to point three. Point number three. Point number three is stakeholder engagement. That's the first thing in initiation, besides, of course, the project charter, but identifying your stakeholders. So understanding your stakeholders' emotions through the whole project is going to be key. I've already talked about being able to have the ability to, watch this, tailor your communications, your concerns, and just make sure, family, when you're working with your stakeholders, to always constantly check in. I'm always preaching that. And the reason why is because I've learned over time that stakeholders are more responsive to you the more that you check in, and just not just checking in to say, hey, where's my task or the thing that you promised me you was going to deliver, but hey, how's your day going today? Or how was your week this week? I just wanted to just to check in and do that. Because I remember one time I did that with a stakeholder, and he responded back to me in teams. He said, Ed, what do you want? And I just fell out laughing. I said, I didn't want anything. I really wanted to see how you were doing, because I'm always asking you for things, but I don't really ask you, how are you as an individual, as a person? Let's move on to point number four, adaptive leadership. Ooh, I love that. Let me tell you, there's so many different leadership styles out there. There's, I could go into depth, but I won't, because I want to make sure you get the most of this. So being able to adapt your leader styles to the person you are dealing with. I know you're thinking, man, why do I always gotta be flexible to everybody else? Well, because you're the coach. Well, because you're the project manager. Well, because you get the point. The whole thing is that without your stakeholders, you won't have the success that you need to move the project along. So you have to be able to adapt and adjust your communication styles and your leadership styles based off of the person that's receiving the information. And one of the things that I started working on is started learning through DISC assessment. Matter of fact, we actually have something coming here to the Conscious Agility Channel around DISC assessment. I think I'm going to get into that a little bit more, because it's imperative to work with your team, to understand their personality styles. That's one thing I wish that I would have done when I first started off as far as in project management, to be able to have some tool to understand people's, you know, personalities. Not saying this, the personality tests are going to get it right all the time, but at least you have an ideal, you know, right or wrong, at least you have an ideal and you build off of that ideal. Let's move on to point number five, improve decision making. See, when you have an emotional intelligence as a project manager, your intuition, or as my grandma would say, your gut, you know, your gut would start telling you things or start asking, making you ask certain questions. And again, a lot of this comes from wisdom or what we say experience through leading projects. So you get better over time. So don't think you're going to be an expert. I'm still learning how to make better decisions. And if I was an expert at making better decisions on projects, I think I would be frustrated, because I don't want to be an expert or a guru. What I want to do is continually to get better. So being able to be well-rounded when it comes to decision-making. And again, I love what Myron Golden talked about between decisions and choices, because a choice is, to me, is just like, flip-flop. But a decision is when you cut. You've made a decision that, hey, look, this is what we're doing. There's no non-negotiables. We're not going to negotiate. We're not going to talk ourselves out of this. This is what we will do. So family, when you are leading a project, being able to have improved decision making will make wonders. Stress management. Let me say something, family. When you're leading a project, being able to have stress management is gonna be key. You know, you work with these people day in and day out, and they're just not working on your project. They also have their day-to-day as well as other projects that they may be supporting, and I'm referencing your stakeholders. What you wanna do is ensure that you're not burning them out. I know sometimes that can be challenging because you may have a resource constraint or any other type of constraint, but get creative, find ways to be able to ensure you keep that healthy work environment, because that's key, family. You spend the majority of the time with these people, your stakeholders, and you wanna make sure you're having a good time and they are having a good time. There's gonna be times where it's gonna be very stressful, but being able to manage that stress is gonna help lead your team to a better position. Point number 7, client satisfaction. Client satisfaction, what I'm saying there, family, is being able to set expectations. One thing I learned about expectation, I really learned it from about the potentials. Like, you know how someone would say, man, I see a lot of potential in that person. And what happens is that even though you see potential, that person still has to exercise on that particular potential that they have. And so we can't get caught up as project managers of not setting the proper expectation. When you set the proper expectation with your client, they know what they're getting, they know what you're delivering, and everyone is on the same page, so there's no surprises at the end when you get ready to close the project. Family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I had to sneeze for you. I don't know why I sneezed. Maybe it was some dust. Who knows? But anyway, I digress. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. This has been your boy, ED. Until next time, I'm out.